Paul Andrews, and my co-host, the lovely Miz.
Me.
On a bike.
Yep.
You're right, bud.
I'm just looking at the pantomime, only because...
Oh, no, you're not.
And I can't remember what one of them's called. And he's buttons this year because it's Canterbury. Now, the reason I'm looking at that, and you might be thinking, oh, my God, she's gone as mad as a bag of frogs.
Phil Gallagher. Is it Phil? Mr. Maker?
Mr. Maker. Now, a couple of years ago...
How did I know that?
How did you know that? A couple of years ago...
Because I know Phil. That's how I know that.
Oh, do you?
Phil is a really... Mr. Maker.
He's lovely.
He's an absolutely gorgeous bloke. He's absolutely lovely. I'm the president of the Kent Deaf Children's Society, and Phil is our patron, and he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant.
Mr. Maker was really, really lovely. This is going back years ago. Of course, he's in it this year as well. And there is a reason why I'm saying about Cinderella. But Mr. Maker, we were in... Nando's post pantomime,
and having a cheeky one, were you?
Having a cheeky Nando's,
yeah.
And there was a big group of us, like 30 of us. There always is this year. I always book it for everybody. My kids have gone since Jack was one, and he's 22 now. So we've been going years and years and years and years and years. Anyway, and there's a big gang of us that go. In comes Mr. Maker. You can imagine we've all just been to the pantomime with Mr. Maker in it. All he wants is a cheeky Nando's to take away, just in the break of it all. He gets this whole group going, it's Mr. Maker. The kids are sat there like, all right. And we're all like really excited. It was Mr. Maker's adults. Anyway, the reason I'm talking about the pantomime is because Supply My Business said, at Bird and a Bike and Vanilla Web, thank you so much for the shout out. We are off to the Marlow Theatre tonight with a member, JJ Systems, to see Cinderella, not to be confused with The Wizard of Oz. Laugh out loud. Is that a joke?
Not a very good one, if it is.
I don't get it.
No.
Martin White, please explain through the Twitter. I don't know. Were you talking about Wizard of Oz last week?
Oh, we were. We were. I did mention Dorothy, I think. Yeah.
As a pantomime or...?
I can't remember the context, to be honest. I do remember making a half-hearted attempt at a joke that involved The Wizard of Oz, yes. That's
very
true.
Interesting about The Wizard of Oz and the psychology and the philosophy that goes behind The Wizard of Oz. Oh, don't look at me like
I'm
that.
Anyway, I've had a tweet from Pecunia, and they say, Vanilla Web, please can we have a big shout-out for us, we're in the office this afternoon listening in, and we are busy planning our training and workshop calendars for 2019. So watch this space for dates and early bird offers. And that's Pecunia 2016, Pecunia 2016. Give them a follow on the Twitter.
Do you laugh when you say early bird?
Yeah, I did. I was thinking of a joke there, but then I moved on.
Anyway, have you seen, oh, we were just laughing here, some Miss MPs. It's got Claire and Robert on the Business Bunker with Vanilla Web after the news, so tune in to hear them. And it says they've got some exciting news. Can't wait. I love it. Can't wait.
Have
you seen the gift?
Have they got exciting news? Have you got exciting news, Claire?
Oh, I think I was just like, can't wait to hear us on the radio show.
Oh, no. They've got some exciting news,
no,
Claire.
The girls are in the office, like, waiting to hear us. Ah. They're just getting the phone calls. They're trying to
Well, they're coming any minute now. I'm going to read one more tweet, and then we're going to talk to these guys. I've got a tweet from Diagrama UK, and their Twitter handle is Diagrama UK Kids. That's Diagrama. They're a kids charity. And they say, hi, Vanilla Web. We would love it if you could mention us on your show. There's not long left to book onto our emergency paediatric first aid at work course in Maidstone. There are a couple of places left. It's totally free.
And how much?
Free. Not four, free. it's particularly aimed at volunteers, job seekers and foster carers. And contact us for more info, and you can contact them on the Twitter, Diagrama UK Kids. That's Diagrama UK Kids.
Are you excited next week?
Am I excited next week?
Yep.
What's happening next week?
Well, we start it, don't we? It's December the 1st. How do we answer the phone?
Buddy the Elf.
What's
your favourite colour? Yeah.
Can't wait.
Oh, God. I hate Christmas. I really do. Especially when she starts with her Buddy the Elf nonsense.
I've done it. Loads of times.
You bring the puppy in a Santa outfit.
Oh, my God. I'm going to bring Honey in now in Santa.
And the dog's going to wear antlers, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, yes, it is. Anyway. listen, before we get all carried away with that, I want to speak to these two lovely people, because it makes a difference to have sensible guests, really.
I'm not a guest, am I?
No, I know, that's why you're not sensible, but these two are. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Claire Runham and Rob Fenn from MPS Services. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Now, hello. Claire, you've been on the show. You've been on the show as well, haven't you, Rob? But I think you came on the phone. Did you come in?
It's obviously very memorable for you, Paul. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it was about 3 years ago, though.
I was going to say, I mean, we've had over 1,200 guests here, so I can't remember everyone that came in or not. I knew you'd been on the show before, and Claire had been on the show, but you came on the show, Claire, when we were still in Dimchurch.
That's quite a long time ago.
Which was, yeah, before Noah built the ark and everything. Yeah, cool. Anyway, enough, you're back. Welcome.
Thank you.
Why don't you start off by telling the listener all about you?
Thanks, Paul. So obviously I run Miss MPS Services and Missed Call. So we do call answering, virtual assistance and business support.
Mm.
And really we're there to support the customers, being that smaller local company, not the person with the automated voice.
It's one of the reasons I asked you when we were talking about, when I was ranting about that, because you actually answer the phone, don't you?
Yes,
that's what you do.
Yeah, and what you said about the older person as well, we've got one client who it's a company that do services for older people.
Mm.
And if you had an automated service there, they're not going to listen. I mean, we're on the phone quite a long time with those people because they want to tell you their life story, and they want to tell you that someone forgot to drop their tomatoes off and things like that, as we've had. And I'm sure the girls in the office are going to be laughing at that now. But they want to speak to someone and be reassured that something's going to happen and someone is going to drop their tomatoes around.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's really important to have that service there.
Mm. It is, especially with old people, because for one reason or another, they can't always work the technology that people have. They're not familiar with it. And my old mum, bless her, she's really good. She's really good, but she'll just tell them what to do. If they start asking her too many questions, she'll just go, "Oh, go away, you idiot." But it's confusing.
Yeah, yeah, it's not just the older people, though. I mean, we've got lots of different clients and all different industries that we answer phone for. Say you had a leak and then you call a plumber and you've got an automated line. You just want to speak to someone, say, "You've got a leak, when can someone come round?"
Mm.
Or if you need lunch break and you want to call your mortgage advisor, you want someone to answer the phone and answer your questions, not spend half of it on the phone trying to get through the right numbers to get to a human.
Right. So you offer this support services primarily for small businesses?
We have got some very large companies, sort of international companies, but it is more for the smaller business. Really, when they need an extra pair of hands, but they don't want to employ someone full time, or they've already got employees, but they're not ready to take on another one yet.
Mm.
So it works with peaks and troughs as well. So you haven't got that full time member of staff you've got to pay for. You just pay for us when you need us.
Do you offer out of hours services as well?
No, our office is a man from 8:30 to 5:30.
Right, okay.
We do some admin work out of those hours if it's arranged, but we're not there at midnight.
No, I just wondered if, you know, because some firms you find, a while back I needed a plumber, an emergency plumber, and I Googled emergency 24-hour plumbers, and the first three I came up with went, "It's 5:00, mate, we're closed."
Yeah.
Right, okay, that'll be 24 hours then, won't it?
Well, if you take me off my offer and let me be your PA, you can call me anytime, Paul.
Oh, okay, that's lovely. Thank you, Claire. So talk us through the range of different types of things you do, and more importantly, how you do it. I get one of the things that I want to ask you, and not for me, but for in general, a lot of especially small businesses, one of the reasons they're reluctant even to hire people is they think, "Oh, nobody understands my business like me."
Exactly.
You know, how do you cope with those kind of things?
When I start working with anybody, I mean, obviously we've been doing it almost 5 years now.
Hmm.
Start off with, there's a couple of clients that want to just hand over all the admin. It's like, "Finally, I've got rid of it," all excited.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't work because we don't know the company. We don't know the person.
Yeah.
We don't know whether they want to communicate with us via email, text message, WhatsApp, phone calls. So I always said, pick one or two tasks and let us work on those with you, whether that's just doing your invoicing or chasing up outstanding, doing some research for you, benchmarking you against your competitors, and then by doing that one or two tasks, we'll get to know you and the company, and you know, we'll know if the best way to contact you is send you a WhatsApp to say I need to speak to you, and then you'll call me when you're free, or if I should call you at 3 o'clock every Tuesday. It's building relationships just as much as if you're a PA sat in someone's office.
Right.
You've got to have that relationship, otherwise it doesn't work.
Absolutely. And you're flexible in terms of how you organise that.
Yes, completely. We work on how the client wants us to work, really. It's about making their life easier, not ours. You know, we're doing the tasks they want us to do, but in a way that works for them. So whoever they want us to answer, you know, we've got an office mobile, which we use just for WhatsApping people. If they want to call mobiles, or landlines, however that works.
Because technology has made it much more viable to do this kind of thing, isn't it? Because you can use different numbers, and you can know how to answer the phone, for instance. You know, in our office, we have 5 different companies, and different lights ring depending on which company's being called. It's the same person that answers the phone, but they know how to answer the phone, yeah? Whether they answer it jobs in Kent or jobs in Surrey or jobs in Sussex, yeah? So technology can help in that way.
Completely. Obviously, that's how we do the call answering. Our computers tell us what company is calling, so we answer it as if we're that company. And we can also dial out with any of our clients. So, for example, with the plumbing client, we've got, if we need to call someone back to rearrange an appointment or something, we can show as if we're the plumber's number. So people answer the phone and they think it's a plumber calling, not a random person. So it makes the business look bigger that we're working for.
Sure. Yeah, okay. And you made reference to some of the things you do. Just step me through the kind of work you do, because it sounds like you do much more than just being a PA. Yeah.
Yes.
You know, because you made reference to invoicing and credit control and all kinds of things. So what are the range of services that you can offer?
How long is the show? Well, let's say it is. I always say it's virtual assistants and business support.
Right.
It's not just being a PA, you're very right there. One of the things we do, for example, which is normally cost neutral for a client, is market research and pricing. So if you're not sure if you're pricing right, or you haven't looked at your prices for a couple of years, if you pay us a couple of hours work to look at the competitors' pricing, everyone we've done that for, and I mean everyone, has put their prices up that's covered the costs of us to
of doing it. Yeah, okay.
Which also then, it's brilliant for us, because we've given them a really good piece of work, and they'll come back to us for something else as well. But it's working with the client to see what they want to do. And sometimes you speak to the client, they don't know what they need help with, but finding out what they've got issues with and where they're struggling with their time, we can then put a plan together on how we're going to help. Normally the jobs that are on your to-do list on a Monday, still there on a Friday, and then the following Monday, still there, are some of the things we can pick off and work on.
Okay. And as you were saying, you can do as much or as little as the person wants in terms of what you handle in their business and what they handle. Do you ever find, though, that sometimes that clashes, that you're doing things and then they're doing things and they don't kind of tie up sometimes?
Yeah, sometimes I think people forget what they've asked you to do.
Yeah.
Going back, you've done a piece of work and they're like, oh, I've come to this conclusion. But obviously you just have to manage the clients and work through. Sometimes they don't want... I'll work in the end, and they go their own, and other times they use ours. But it's every client is different. No two people are the same, and that's why we have to adapt what we do. And we've got bigger clients and smaller clients. For example, one of the corporate clients we've got, even just things like reviewing their insurance policies, had a client that had the same insurance brokers for about 10 years, automatically renewed every single time. Obviously, I'm not qualified to do the insurance myself, but went to a broker I've worked with really well in the past, presented it all to him, and he saved them thousands of pounds off the insurance just because someone's looked.
Yeah.
So again, it's an example of how a few hours work from us can actually have big savings.
That's a kind of follow-on from the conversation we were having before the break, isn't it? That we all live busy lives, we all know it's a pain in the bottom trying to deal with companies. So quite often we let things auto-renew, we let them roll over. If you like me, you just forget. And all of a sudden it's renewed anyway because you've never got round to looking at it. And a lot of organisations rely on you doing that and sneakily put their prices up without you thinking about it. But we do live in times that are stressful and there's lots of things to do. So having someone to help by passing over some of those tasks is always useful, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, your to-do lists are always getting longer and longer, aren't they? And there's always something else to do instead of it. So having someone that's sort of going to hold you accountable a little bit in the business side of it it just helps, especially small businesses. If you haven't got sort of a boss or, you know, a director looking over you, you are that person. You're trying to be everybody. So having someone helping you out and taking some of it off your shoulders does help out a lot.
I'm kind of throwing roadblocks in your way because I want to understand how you overcome some of these things. In my own business, I mentioned a particular mobile phone provider the other day.
Which one?
A Vodafone. I have quite a substantial company, and I have a finance manager and some two or three people that do office admin, okay? But if I ever have a problem with my mobile phone, they won't talk to anyone apart from me because my name's on the contract, yeah? And we've got dozens of phones and all going, but no, my name's on the contract, so no one will get spoken to. Is that an issue that you face sometimes when you're dealing with clients? Do you have to get yourself assigned to...
You have to get authority. So if we're there once in the same room and you call up, you just get them to put a note on your record to say that I can speak.
Yeah.
I've got my name on quite a lot of accounts.
I was say,
So, that's generally how we do it.
Yeah, okay, cool. So let's kind of bring Rob into the conversation now. Where do you fit into this? When you were last on, Rob, you were talking to us about ISO 9000 and standardisation and stuff
That's
like that.
It. Yeah, exactly. Mm. I mean, yeah, so I was, as part of BAB, the company back then, was using Claire as a virtual assistant. So I suppose we were in that sort of typical small business stage of we kind of needed an extra person for admin stuff, but we were probably too risk averse to say, right, let's hire someone.
Yeah.
So Claire was a good stepping stone there because, of course, she's effectively a pay-as-you-go assistant. Mm. You only need to pay her or one of the members of the team there to do work as and when. Mm. And I suppose it's a good resource to have because, A, there's some stuff you just don't want to do.
So without a doubt.
Like being on the phone to suppliers. And Claire did herself the world of good by in one scenario she was trying to get some insurance quotes for us and managed to save a load of money using one of her suppliers.
Right.
That was Richard, wasn't it, down at Westfield Insurance. So we got into that scenario which we've written in a blog which you find on the Business Bunker.
Yeah, absolutely.
About the thing with small businesses is you get a bit too over-friendly with your suppliers. You know, you go down to the pub with them, you've used them for 10 years, you've got no idea if you're getting a good deal or not.
Absolutely,
If you put a middleman in there, like a Claire, who has no relationship, she can assess things on face value, and as it turned out, we were paying well over the odds. Mm. But it's one of those things, you know, insurance isn't a particularly sexy subject.
Yeah.
It's not something you already talk about in management meetings because you want to talk about exciting sales stuff, marketing stuff, and that got left. But actually, our eyes were widened because we saved a chunk of money, which easily paid for Claire's work, tenfold, and it meant we could reinvest it into more things. So.
Yeah. I mean, this is the issue, isn't it, with admin? The vast majority of us can't abide the stuff. Yeah, it's just a pain in the bum. It isn't what we set up our business to do. You know, we didn't think, I'm going to start a business because I'd love to do VAT every quarter.
Yeah.
We just don't think about things like that. They're just necessary evils that we have to do.
Yeah.
If we can outsource that to someone that we can trust, hey, why not? Yeah.
And I do, to back up what we do, I do a lot of networking. I do B&O every week. So I've got lots of contacts. So if one of my clients needs someone, whether it is business related or personal, a tradesperson, I know who to go to. And because I've built those relationships myself, I know if I call one of these people to do it as well, they'll come through for me and they'll do a really good job. So as well as having the work done, you know you're going to get the people there when they say they're going to be there as well.
Mm.
So it's just an added service. It's nothing more annoying than waiting in for someone or arranging something and not happening.
And it's really important as well, especially with the kind of trade services, that it's not only a question of finding someone, is it? It's a question of finding someone that you can rely on. A while back, Kevin, who was the founder of Checker Trade, was a guest on the show, and he was talking about why he started Checker Trade, and it was exactly that. He needed someone to re-roof his mum's house, and he didn't know anyone that did it, and he didn't know how to find out if they were the people that were bidding were any good. And that's a massive thing, isn't it? If you need an emergency plumber or an electrician or something, where do you start? You know, if you look online or you look in what used to be Yellow Pages, it doesn't tell you anything. Yeah. you know, you just don't know. But if you've got personal contacts and you know from personal experience or from the experiences of other people that you know that people are trustworthy and competent, that's a great place to start, isn't it?
Well, it just cuts down the time as well, because yeah. obviously I've built those connections and relationships. So if someone calls me up saying they need to get something printed or they need a designer, I know who to go to straight away. And also I know, obviously, in every type of business scenario, you've got the really high end and the middle mid-range and your economy size. So knowing the clients as well, I know what they're looking to get from it and how, whether it's a throwaway piece they want doing or something to keep forever. So you kind of know where to place it and it just speeds up everything.
Cool. So you made reference earlier to the fact that you've been going about 5 years. Mm-hmm. Just take us back to what inspired you to start in the first place, okay?
I was in a position in a role I had that there were so many times I thought if I had someone that could just do this or just do that, I didn't need a full-time member staff. I needed someone that could do almost everything. But I didn't have a role for them. So it kind of really opened my eyes to actually how I could make this work as a business by being that go-to person. And even if I can't do it myself, I say, I know the designers, I know the printers, I know your plumbers, I know the mortgage brokers. I've got all of those people in my back pocket that I can pull out. So I'm kind of the go-to person. And it's, you know, all you're paying for is the hourly rate of our time doing it. And that just could be the phone call from you to me and then me to that you know, electrician saying, can you go out and see this client? And that's it. You're not paying for anything else. So it's really just, it makes an affordable way of doing it.
And of course, it's easy to assess the value to you. Yeah, because what's my value per hour of my time versus what's your value per hour of your time? And I go, it's cheaper for you to do it than it is for me.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point. It's not necessarily about how much that job costs to get done. It's what else can you do? So a lot of these smaller businesses as well, they're in the best place making that extra sale or doing their business plans, then go and get the loans or anything they need to for investment. It's their time's better off spent there, not doing the admin and the, you know, behind the scenes.
So give us a go again I know you kind of do most things, but but give us a flavour of the usual kind of things that you do for most clients.
Okay, so on the call answering side, we do quite a lot of not just answering the call, but doing things on the end of the phone. For example, we have a plumber who we don't just say pass messages on. We've got access to his diary and his systems.
So you book appointments for him.
Yeah, it's literally live. So if someone calls up and says they've got a leak, we'll look at the diary and see who's out there and call one of the engineers if necessary and see if we can get them out. Or if it's a routine service, we book things like that in. Mm-hmm. We've got another client where their sales hotline, so people call up and order things. And we literally process the orders on the internet and through to sort of the shipment stage, so we press a button, it goes off, and then obviously lots of just call answering, taking messages, passing them on.
Yeah, sure.
But we sort of pride ourselves on the fact we're not a mass call answering centre. If you call us, we're not going to hear this tapping in the background, because that's just obvious. It's you know, we're an extension of the company. Admin wise, I don't know what I haven't said that we do. The list is so long. Right. I mean, we've got Christmas coming up. We're going to be writing out quite a few hundred Christmas cards for someone, so they're handwritten. I know Rob jokes about it all the time, but I have wrapped Christmas presents for someone before.
I was just going to go down a route of PA and getting their bosses
ordering flowers.
Yeah,
it's my wife's birthday.
Yeah, dodgy Christmas presents.
Can you imagine it?
Yeah, one for the mistress, one for the wife, that kind of thing.
Yeah. I haven't had that one yet. That'll be my bucket list then to do that for someone.
Well, all joking aside, I am rubbish at wrapping presents.
No, me too.
And to think, I could be on Christmas Eve wasting hours doing a horrible job of wrapping presents or getting on with some work while someone else bet I could do it.
I wasn't sure wrapping Christmas presents was actually something worth traumatized, but yeah, we have done it. So market research and the sort of the price comparisons is a really popular one at the moment, because we always end up saving people money doing it. Well, they increase their prices so they don't pay for our time.
Right.
I'm trying to think what else we do. It's just the list is endless.
It's kind of open-ended, isn't it? Because it's admin. It's whatever you want to do.
You know, at the moment, I'm helping someone price a kitchen up, but not obviously me doing it, but going to different people with some drawings and saying, how much is this going to cost?
It takes hours.
Yes.
It takes hours. I would have loved that.
Yeah. So if you want a new kitchen done,
it's being done now as we speak. But that does. You're absolutely right. Those little things take hours, like insurance.
Yeah.
You know, you said about the insurance being renewed. That takes you hours to ring around. That's why it's easier not to ring around.
Yeah. For one client, we did, they wanted to put an online payment system on their website, but they didn't know where to start with it. So we took the numbers that are going through currently, went to three different providers and said, what would your prices be based on this? Then I fed back to the boss what the prices were, but also the customer service experience. One of them was just, I wouldn't bother going back to. One of them, I had a relationship already and he was kind of okay, but actually I suggested someone else because they were just really good with their customer service.
Cool. Look, we could talk about this for hours, but sadly we're kind of running out of time. If people want to find out more about what you guys do, how can they do that?
They can call the office. They can email me on
Claire. Can I get to speak to someone straight away as well?
No
automated number. They can email me directly on Claire without an I at missmps.co.uk. They can Facebook us, Twitter us.
Yeah, just look
website.
Google Miss MPS. Yeah, missmps.co.uk.
Anywhere they want to, really. And if they want to call the office, it's 01732 757 870.
You had to look up your own number, didn't you?
Oh, why did you just say that? She did that effortlessly.
I know she did. But I'd just like to think I'm not the only one that doesn't know my own telephone number. I have no idea what... I've been doing things with insurance companies. They keep saying, what's your landline? I have no idea. No, I've never even answered my landline. I have no idea what it is. The only reason I've got a landline is because it goes with my broadband.
Me, yeah. You make me have one.
Yeah.
There are lots of different ways I can contact.
Fantastic, people. Yeah. But give us a shout for your website again, because that's where a lot of people will start.
Yeah, it's www.missmps.co.uk.
Fantastic. Claire, Rob, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the last few minutes of the show, but for the moment, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Cool. What you got, Bud?
Well, it's all starting to flood in now, isn't it?
Is it? Go on then.
We've got Buddy the Elf. Absolutely.
Oh, for God's sake, you haven't started. Have we got gifts of Rudolph and all that nonsense?
Not yet. We've got a gif of Buddy the Elf. What's your favourite colour? Mm-hmm. From Butterflies Events. We've got our tree up already, Bird and a Bike. Maybe the Grinch, but we are super excited. This gif is just for you, so she'll send me one each week now.
She put a tree up on Sunday.
Why are you curling your lip?
Well,
you curled your lip there. No,
yeah. No, but she put up a normal looking tree, and I've got a black plastic Christmas tree, which is what I use. I went, "Where's my black plastic? We're going to put that in the other room, so we're going to have two trees."
Yes, you've got to have two trees. You've got a house that can have two trees. You should have a big, like, here, Amanda. You should have a big 7-footer in the hallway. There you go. Don't say I don't help.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
I've had a tweet from Compare and Recycle. And they say, happy Green Tuesday, Vanilla Web and Bird on a Bike. Can we have the loudest Business Bunker shout out, please? Check your drawers. Check your drawers, Bird. And collect your device that has been upgraded. Oh, I see.
Do you want me to fill in the space? Because you're on.
I see what they're saying. If you change one of your devices over Black Friday, so you've got a device that's now out of date, you can get a quote for it on their website to sell it. And you can also get them recycled if you want. So that's Compare and Recycle on the Twitter, and that's their Twitter handle, Compare Recycle. Or you can go to their website, which is comparerecycle.co.uk.
Love it.
Mm.
Do you know what I like to do on Twitter sometimes is watch what's trending.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see everything that's trending. Did you see the... Oh, there's two things I want to ask you. I don't know why I'm asking you, really. You out there. Did you see the new Coca... Well, I'm not asking you because you wouldn't have watched it. Did you see the new Coca-Cola advert with Raxu? You know, the holidays are coming. Anyway, that's trending today. Also, Lancashire Day is trending today as well. Any idea why? You're knowledgeable. Oi.
Lancashire Day.
Yeah, Lancashire Day is trending today.
Maybe because it's Lancashire Day?
Don't know. Richard Allen is trending today. I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
So we should be. Right. I quite like watching the trends, see what's going on. And apparently Supply My Business said Bird and a Bike, they've got a gift with red shoes, and Dorothy says he's forgotten, laugh out loud. So everybody's communicating with us, which I love. And the gifts are even more hilarious. And the fact that you all have enough time to find the gifts always amazes me.
Absolutely. Well, they've probably got some kind of service background that finds gifts for them, haven't they?
I can't find them as quick as these people do. They're amazing.
Hold on. I've got a message here from Amanda who says she's name is Amanda. I don't understand.
Nice. Ibiza Fitness Food. Heard of them?
Yeah.
They've sent us in... Well, you had to say that. They've sent us in a menu thing. They do a 3 or 6 day meal plan. They build your own boxes. It's a massive, massive list. And what I love about it is it gives you nutritional information. So is that relevant in another way as well? So for me, I love looking at this because then I drive people mad with my... with my food consumption and my food knowledge. But I just love the fact that they've getting you to start to think about what it is in each food. So, yeah, food boxes. Something that's really important.
Ibiza Fitness Food.
Ibiza Fitness Food.
Sweet.
Thanks.
There's a Marsh Networking Over Coffee on the 5th of December. Taking place at the Sinkport Arms, and that's in the High Street near Romney. If you go to kempersisradio.co.uk/Marsh, you can book it there.
Cool. Is it now? This is why you've given me this, isn't it? I always know when you've given me the worst things. How do you say this? ECCE. ECCE. Is it Ecce or
Ecce? Ecce Media.
Why did you give it to me? You knew I'd make an idiot of myself.
Yeah, exactly.
There we go. Ecce snaps up new grades. Ecce, the award-winning website development agency based in Sevenoaks, has recently appointed 2 graduates and are already seeing the benefits. That's Bella Jordan, our new digital designer, joins us from Canterbury Christchurch with a first. Well done. And then you've got Josh Mustafa, graduated from the University of Greenwich with a computer science degree, and he's their new web developer. I love that when these companies just go straight in. So coming straight out of university, these graduates are at the cutting edge of technology. Ecce's headcount has seen a growth of 60% in the past year to keep up with an increasing workload. So Ecce is a web development and e-commerce specialist, and you need to go to www.ecce.uk.
The Jay Harmer Foundation has tweeted as well. Do you know them?
Yeah, I know Danny, who is involved with them.
Okay. Because they tweeted to say our lovely sponsor, Miss MP Services, is on. Cool. Young Enterprise. This is an organisation dear to my heart. The Young Enterprise Company programme in schools looks to provide a business mentor to a school team who then set up a real company and really trade for a year. Young Enterprise are looking for business advisors and supporters to help in the Ashford and South Kent region. If you'd like to know more, you can email Trudy Hartridge, who's the organiser for Young Enterprise. And Trudy's email address is trudy.hartridge@y-e.org.uk. Do get involved.
We've got loads of gifts coming in.
Have you? Are you giggling?
I can't help it. It's very funny, but I'm actually getting told off on air, which is even funnier. So that's very funny. Anyway, Music Extravaganza. We are Beams, an event for all the family. We will involve the local community to enjoy the Hextable Wind Band, who will be performing. That just makes me laugh. Don't. Why did you have to do that? That was sent me off. No. Oh, God.
Oh, dear. The Hextable Wind Band, you were saying.
Yeah.
Go on.
So, before my songs...
Come on, without giggling.
With the Christmas finale, mulled wine, hot chocolate and mince pies on offer held at St. Peter's and St... Oh, gosh, please help me. So, this is Friday the 14th of December and this is from 7 till 9.30 at night. Thanks for your support, Paul. All to support disabled children with Beams, a local charity. You need to book online at www.worldwideweb. And it's Eventbrite and it's Beams at Christmas Music Extravaganza. Now that's 01322 668501. Go check him out. Cool. I'm so sorry I laughed, but it was his fault.
Talking about music, why don't you make someone's Christmas extra special? Do you like the way I solved that?
I was like, what have I got to do? Yeah, I realised you were actually being serious.
Let me tell you what you got to do. You've got to book a special weekend of world-class piano tuition.
Is this at Finchcock?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Luxury accommodation and delectable food and drink.
I actually thought about doing this for Louis.
Yeah, why not? It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous.
He's wasted on him, isn't it? He just wants to play the piano.
But what a place to play it.
I know, right?
What a place. Finchcock's at Goudhurst Country House. They've the cellar. It's called a cellar. If I tell you there's 8 grand pianos in the cellar, each in their own practice area, that gives you some feel for the size of the cellar. And it's absolutely gorgeous. It's a phenomenal... they're catacombs rather than a cellar. They have 8 grand pianos down there. And it's a piano school. It's absolutely fabulous. I spent a day there talking to Neil, the owner, and going around the house and looking at everything. It is so gorgeous. He'd love it. He would absolutely love it. Yeah. So finchcocks.com, if you want to find out about it, look at their website, find out about that. They also do yoga and mindfulness courses and all kinds of things there.
They've got them on, haven't they?
So. Yeah, yeah. So do check it out.
There is a funny story about that.
Go on.
We went down to Nuki surfing and we all went out. So there was the 5 of us and we all went out to, there's Stephen and I, Stephen doing his wine tasting and that, and he loves it. And then Louis starting to have a bit of a tipple, and Louis 17. And then they've got this big grand piano and we're all having this big, you know, beautiful fine dining experience. And so Louis decides, you know, after a glass of wine, and he'd do it anyway, to play on the grand piano. Everybody thought he was paid for the night. So here he is in this big restaurant at this big, big, the top 5-star hotel in Cornwall. There's not many of them. And there he is. Da, 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 on this big grand piano. He's hilarious. Yeah. Anyway, that's what Louis would do.
We've had a tweet from the lovely folks at Telcare who are listening in. Telcare are the telecom systems providers over there on the Medway City Estate at Rochester. So do give them a follow. Telcare.
Okay, so I will say it because she's told me off online. So here we go. Amanda Flanders, If I use this account, Burdener Bike and Vanilla Web, I'll be Bunker. Will you use my name rather than my business Twitter handle? Yes, Amanda Flanders. She says the big tree is coming next week.
What? 3 trees. We're having 3 trees.
A big tree.
Are we? Oh, dear. Okay. So that was Claire's fault. She started going on about 7-foot trees, didn't she? Yeah.
Amanda Flanders.
Amanda. The gorgeous Amanda. Yeah. Right. There's a networking event going on manana tomorrow.
I always think that's tonight, but it's not, is it?
No, it's tomorrow, Wednesday the 28th.
Thank you.
And it's going on here at Kent Space, which is where the studios are, which is in Watton Road, Ashford. And it's taking place from 5:30 until 8 p.m. It's a networking event. There's drinks, nibbles and networking. And the speaker is a great presentation on grants and funding for business growth. And I believe it's Brian Hall that's doing it, giving the speech. So do come along. That's Wednesday, the 28th of November, manana, here at Kent Space in Watton Road.
Nice. Mm. How did you have the 30-30 yet?
Yes, it was last week at Longford. Well, the 30-30 was fine. It was just a trip home. It was a trip home.
I spoke to you, didn't I? Mm.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not nice.
Yeah.
What did you learn last week from the 30-30? If you don't know what the 30-30 is, it's with Jobs in Kent and FSB. You put on this free programme, don't you?
Yep.
Where you have businesses and schools come together. And is it that the schools tell the businesses what they're looking for?
It's a bit of both. The format, it's just a morning. It's a free event. Roughly 30 businesses come along and talk to roughly 30 students. The students are normally A-level students. And what happens is there's a couple of workshops, one for the businesses and one for the students. So at this particular event, Ralph Mayer, who's country head of recruitment for LinkedIn, spoke to the students about the importance of having a LinkedIn account. And the businesses had a talk from me about hiring staff and recruitment and employment. And sometimes they have the apprenticeship team come along and talk to them. Sometimes they have Kent Supported Employment come. So there's always a different type of workshop for both the students and the employers. The students get how to write a CV, how to present yourself at an interview, and people like Ralph from LinkedIn come along. And then what happens is the students and businesses get together for an hour of speed networking, where the students tell businesses, what they're studying, why they're studying in, and what their ambitions are. And the businesses tell the students about what it's like to work in their industry, what kind of skills and attributes they look for when they're hiring someone. It's always a great event. Mm. And we do them for any school in Kent and Medway. It's free. In fact, we do them in London now as well. We've just signed up a school in London that wants it, but primarily Kent and Medway. The next one in Kent is at the Lee Academy in January. The details are on the website. And then the one after that is at a school in Tunbridge.
It's really interesting you talk about this LinkedIn for school leavers and that.
Yeah.
Mark, I've got Mark Gaisford on the on my show soon.
From Red Sprout.
Yeah. That's right. And he is very much into this and trying to get people in uni to do this.
Yeah, yeah.
My daughter's in full resistance. She's in the last year of uni. She's going, no, I don't even need to think about this yet. Really interesting.
You do need to think about
yes,
it, yeah.
Yes, you do, my darlings.
Yeah, you do. LinkedIn's very important. As a social media platform, it's the only platform that isn't completely bonkers, yeah? I mean, Facebook and, to a certain extent, Twitter and Instagram and all the rest of it are a bit bonkers because people get their private and personal and political and football lives and religious lives all mixed up into one, and that becomes a bit of a nightmare. So far, LinkedIn, for the most part, has managed to avoid that, although they do get a bit close to it now and again. And it's much more professional. If you want to look at building your career or indeed building business, LinkedIn's probably the best platform for business to business. And the thing that Ralph talks about to students, you know, a lot of students don't have a LinkedIn profile because they don't have anything to put on it, yeah, from a business point of view. And he gives some very good feedback on how to build a profile when you don't do anything, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you do need a profile. And it does work. I mean, my youngest son got himself work when he was a student. He got himself some cracking jobs just by researching and contacting people on LinkedIn. He ended up working on Downton Abbey, the TV program, just because he sent a message to the guy that owned the production company and asked. He just said, can you give me a job? And he went, yeah, okay. So it's a great resource, and you should use it. Yeah, but you don't use it like Facebook or Twitter.
So what did you learn from 30/30 last week?
We got some really good talented kids.
Yeah.
You know, there's kids with talent.
Okay, so let's go a bit deeper into that. What's the talent?
Well,
it's not the skill, is it?
There's a lot of different ways of looking at this. And one of the things is we confuse qualifications with skills, and they're not the same thing at all. Yeah. Qualifications are okay as far as they go, but they don't actually mean anything. Yeah, they just mean that you managed to pass a test. Skills are something different. They're things that you can do, attributes that you have, that you've deployed and used and have developed. And everybody has talents of one kind or another. And for me, and the message that I give to young people, one of the things that annoys me, a lot of people will say, do what you love. Now that's a bit Pollyannish to me, because you know, if you ask a 16 or a 17 year old what do you love, they go football, you know, singing, yeah. But 99.9% of people aren't going to be a professional footballer or a rock star, but that's what they love, yeah, or they think they love. So telling someone to do what they love is a pointless exercise. What you need to do is do what you know how to do. Do what you're good at. What are your talents? And every human being has talents of one kind or another. What you've got to work out is what your talents are. And they actually only break down into three clusters. You're either good with people, good with things, or good with data. And there's combinations of those, but that's intrinsically where you are. Do you like dealing with people? Or do you prefer dealing with abstract concepts like numbers and words? Or do you prefer working with your hands, like building things or making things or taking things apart? And once you know that at a primary level, you know what to pursue. I had a young lad come to me and he went, I want to work in the fashion industry, innit? Okay, why do you want to work in the fashion industry, innit? Yeah, well, because I like clothes, don't I, innit? And I go, okay, fine. And what are you, so where are you looking? Going to work in a shop, innit? Okay. And so you like dealing with customers? No, I don't like people. So why are you going to work in a shop? Because I want to work in the fashion industry. You see, if you don't think it through, you end up making mistakes. So people go, oh, you know, what I love is fashion. Therefore, to work in the fashion industry, I need to work in a shop. But if you don't like dealing with people, working in a shop's pretty pointless.
Yeah, but hold on, I'm going to poke you a little bit
here.
Yeah,
go for it.
What if the skill comes as well with dealing with people?
Yeah.
While you're actually having the experience of it. So there is that duality of it.
Of course. If you look at any job normally normally has an element of all three.
It's a side effect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And most activities have an element of three, yeah? What you need is a job that focuses mostly on the thing that you're good at, yeah? And has secondary inputs to the other stuff.
How do you know what you're good at 16, 17 without this ridiculous dream that you have been so... I mean, I wanted to be a nurse from the age of 12.
Yeah.
Only because... And this is going to show me completely...
Because you like looking at naked bodies?
No, my lover. Okay. It's because I love the show Angels and I wanted a cap and the cape.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was gutted. Get this. I was gutted because when I qualified...
You didn't get one.
They stopped wearing them that year. I was gutted.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying.
But that's how most young people pick what they do. They see it on TV or they see it somewhere else and they hear it. And that's why it doesn't work. Yeah, because they've got a false identity of what it is they're getting into. You know, so most jobs have an element of all three of the clusters of things. You know, skills with people, skills with dirt, skills with things. What the task is to work primarily in a job with things. Now, if you think about it, if you think about it at the lowest level, a bricklayer, that's not a low level, but you know what I mean. Yeah, if you're a things-based person and you like building walls, you need to have some math skills, otherwise the wall's going to fall down, yeah?
Yeah.
But the math skills are a secondary thing to the building thing, and they're necessary, but it's not... Do you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's an additional thing that you have to have just to make your main thing work.
I'll tell you, give you a good example, is Jack is amazing with food. Yeah. But with people, oh, my days, he's... Yeah. And you can imagine, being a chef, they're not the greatest of people with skills.
Yeah.
Of people skills, are they? That, you know, their egos are massively out there. So he's finding that a really different, difficult environment to be in.
I have two sons. My eldest son is not a people person. He's incredibly academically bright and he's massively good with his hands in building things. He was a top-level sportsman. He's good at building things, making things. He makes clothes. He builds things. Yeah, he's really great. My youngest son is a people person. He could sell snow to Eskimos, coal to Newcastle, and he can schmooze the birds out of the trees.
So how do people get, you know, multi-skilled at these things?
Well,
is this what you go through in 30-30 or not?
Yeah, to some extent. We only touch on it briefly, though, because there's not enough time to go into it in depth. But there's a book called What Colour Is Your Parachute? And it's written by a guy called Richard Nelson Bowles, and it's written fresh each year, although Richard is now 90-odd, so... if he's still alive at all. So I'm not sure who's publishing it now. And it's called the Career Changers Bible. And in there, they talk about what they call transferable skills, which are these three clusters of skills. And if you think about it, within the clusters, there's lots of different levels. Yeah. So if you're a person that's skilled with things, that could be something as simple as sweeping up, stacking shelves, you know, running, jumping, anything like that. And it could be all the way up to being an astronaut. Yeah, and flying a spacecraft, because they're all things-related jobs. What happens as you move up through the clusters is you add levels of skill to the underlying talent that you have. If to be good with things, you have to have hand-eye coordination, and that's the major skill. On top of that, you add your brain power to that skill and your experience to that skill as you go up through the levels. And it's the same with people with skills with data. Skills with data could be as simple as adding up columns of figures. It could be writing words. It could be writing computer programs. It could be designing websites. It could be writing music. Funnily enough, the greatest computer programmers are always musicians. Always. I used to run graduate recruitment for Goldman Sachs when I worked at Goldman Sachs. And when we were looking for programmers, we always hired musicians, not mathematicians, because musicians are better at creative numbers and symbols.
Creative numbers
so those clusters of skills are where you're at. And you asked me right up front, how do you know? It's because it's what you do every day, because you can't avoid it. If you like running about and jumping and building and, you know, doing stuff, you'll do it. Yeah. It's one of the things you do without thinking about it. Yeah. If you like sitting in your bedroom writing stories, you're a data person. You know, if you like running around outside sawing up trees, you're a things person. Yeah. And if you like running around, you know, talking to people and performing and acting, you're a people person. That's the kind of the way it is. You can't hold it back.
Cool. Yeah.
Good stuff. What you got?
I got one. A proven marketing training masterclass that will immediately transform and supercharge the way you do your marketing. Do you struggle to get the success you want from your marketing? Now, this masterclass is dedicated to businesses who are dedicated to growing their business with better marketing. And this is at Mercure Maidstone at Great Danes. This is on the 27th of November. That's tomorrow.
It's today.
No, this is the 28th. It's the 27th today.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said 27th.
No,
it's
28th. 9 a.m. till 1. And it's 97 plus VAT. Or did I say the 27th?
Maybe.
Oh, who knows? Let's listen it back again. www.businesseventsuk.com. Why did I say www? I always get you to do that bit.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I don't know. We've run out of the time now. We've run to the end of the show.
How amazing is
that? I know. I just want to say a massive, huge, big happy birthday to my baby sister. Happy birthday, Patty. Have a lovely day. Thank you.
It's my brother's birthday today as well.
Oh, is it? Oh, there you go. Give him a shout out.
He's in South America, but happy birthday.
He must be listening now, Claire, surely.
It's global, Claire. This is global.
Yeah. Don't forget to listen in to Amanda's show on Friday, the Business Bunker Extra Show. This week, Amanda's co-host is the lovely Molly Wright, and their guest is magician Stu Weller. That's going to be fun. 11 o'clock Friday on channelradio.co.uk/2 or bizradio.co.uk. But that brings us to the end of another show here on the Business Bunker Show. A massive thank you to Lady Victoria Borick, former Deputy Mayor of London, who will be speaking at the Women in Business Lunch on the 6th of December at Eastwell Manor. And a fantastic thank you very much to our two studio guests, the lovely Claire Runham and Rob Fenn from Miss MPS Services. And, of course, my fantastic co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike. We'll be back with another show next week. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye.
It's Club Culture with Boy George. One, two,
three. The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.